ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We'll chant chapter 2, verses 41 to 45.
Sir, the books are still not available.
No, it takes some more time. Verses 41 to 45. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi. व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः एकेह कुरु नन्दन बहुशाकाह्यनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनाम् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः एकेह कुरु नन्दन बहुशाकाह्यनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनाम् यामि माम् पुष्पिताम् वाचम् यामि माम् पुष्पिताम् वाचम् प्रवदन्त्यभिपश्चितः प्रवदन्त्यभिपश्चितः वेदवादरता पार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः यामि माम् पुष्पिताम् वाचम् प्रवदन्त्यभिपश्चितः वेदवादरता पार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानाम् भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानाम् तयापरुतचेतसाम् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते समाधौ न विधीयते भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानाम् तयापरुतचेतसाम् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते त्रैगुण्यविषया वेदाः निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान् त्रैगुण्यविषया वेदाः निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान् This portion from 39 onwards, Lord Krishna talks about Buddhi Yoga. What he calls as Buddhi Yoga here is nothing but Karma Yoga. When you act with awareness, with the attitude of Tera na Mera, and get ready to accept whatever might be the result, then you are functioning in the spirit of Karma Yoga. So it is action backed by awareness, backed by your clarity, buddhi, thinking capacity. Not propelled by desires. Actions can either be propelled by desires or by awareness. In the sense, you have the energy within you, you just direct the energy consciously, then it becomes karma yoga. Action done from the periphery is karma. Action done identifying with the center is karma yoga. That's the difference. So like we discussed yesterday, it is not the action that can be classified as karma or karma yoga. It depends upon the actor who performs the action. If the actor is doing the action with awareness and attitude, positive attitude, with acceptance, then it becomes karma yoga, whatever might be the action. Even an ordinary action of sweeping could be done in the spirit of karma yoga. Swami Vivekananda gives an example of a karma yogi who is a butcher.
Be like a seva. Is that
karma yoga? The spirit of service and sacrifice. When it is coming from the ego, it is karma. When it is coming from the self, it is karma yoga. So he says buddhi yoga. And in this, there is no loss of effort. Swami Vivekananda gives the example of a butcher. And he says, the butcher is, in that story that he gives, the butcher is a karma yogi. You will think, how can a person who is involved in, that's his profession. How can he be a karma yogi? It is not what you do, but how you do. That's karma yoga. And therefore in 40 he said, in this there is no loss of effort, nor is there production of contrary result. Your efforts don't get wasted. The wastage of energy comes when your mind goes into the past and future. The dissipation happens because of the mind's role. When the intellect takes over, the dissipation is taken care of. Not only the dissipation is taken care of, the dissipating energy is saved and it is directed towards the higher. And that's the job of the intellect. So when you are not conscious, your mind has gone either to the past or to the future. Both are dreams. The reality is the present. So mind wanders in the dreams. Intellect puts it back in the present. So when you are in the present, your effort is not lost. When you are calm and composed and when you are in the present, your effort fructifies itself. In fact, you are not even waiting for the result to fructify because your mind is not gone to the future. You are very much in the present. And whatever comes is a positive outcome to you because there was zero expectation. And when there is expectation, like in that story of between Akbar and Birbal, Akbar is supposed to have asked, after drawing a line on the board, he said, can anybody make it longer without touching it? No, anybody make it shorter without touching it? Birbal is supposed to have come and put a longer line parallel to that. Automatically it becomes short. So, like that, if there is expectation, then in comparison to that expectation, whatever we achieve looks small. It looks like, the effort has gone waste. So much I did, but what I got is very little. But when there is zero expectation, there is no loss of effort. And now there is production of contrary result. When you do it with calm mind and focused, the result will be, the object of the desire will come to you, you will achieve the purpose, and your desires are also getting exhausted. You get both spiritually and material benefits. No production of contrary results. Even very little of this discipline protects one from great fear. If you have small expectation, little expectation, an ounce of expectation will bring about great fear. But if you have no expectations, you are ready for accepting anything. You have become total. Your mind is not split, but it is total. Yeah.
The traits of a karma yogi would be fearlessness.
Absolutely.
That's the only.
See, karma yoga is what? Bhakti and jnana included with action is karma yoga. When we say bhakti, the right attitude. When we say jnana, the awareness. When action See, you have plenty of desires. You have not still become 100% introverted, or even to a great extent introverted. So what do? You do it as a dedicated action. So there is bhakti, there is jnana, both behind your action. Then it becomes yoga. Otherwise it becomes both. For example, we are now discussing on Bhagavad Gita. This is from the superficial level, if you look at it, it's a divine action, let us say, for example. Talking on the Bhagavad Gita, the song of the Lord. Then, if the attitude is so gross, if I am thinking, I hope these people think that I know Bhagavad Gita, I think I am getting famous, I will get name, fame, following, then this is not a Karma Yoga. This is a extremely materialistic action. Right? But on the contrary, I may be involved in some materialistic action. Let us say I am counting money. But my mind is surrendered. In that bhavana I do, that becomes Karma Yoga. That's why he said, it's not what you do, it's how you do. It's not where you are, but where your thoughts are. So, even very little expectation creates huge fear. You start a business, it's not the business that gives you stress, it's your expectation of the business that gives you stress. You bring up children, it's not children who give you stress, it's your expectation that gives you stress. If you have love and no expectation, love will not have expectation. If you see your love has expectation, then that's not love. See, please remember this. Love means accepting a person totally for what he or she is. Totally for how he or she is. Supposing you say, this much I understand and accept, this part of this person I don't accept. Then you don't have love. It is accepting totally.
Unconditionally.
But then, what do? We accept things not totally. As long as it is like this, I take it. If it is not like this, then I don't take it.
It has to suit us.
So there is kind of a, preference.
Yeah.
Right? So love has no preferences.
There is ego, right?
Which, if you have preference, it's ego, yes. So subtle level, though we keep on saying love, 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 we really don't have love. Like Oliver Goldsmith says, love is still an emptier sound, unearthed, unknown, unheard. If at all found only in turtle's nest, he says. It's not there. We keep on saying the modern fairness just, he says. It just, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I'm sorry. You know, these words we use, it's become kind of a fashion. But seriously, if you see, there is somewhere deep inside, there is some expectation. Even if we say he's my friend, are you really a friend of him after accepting him totally? No. You think, yes, but when situation comes, you are exposed. You know? So when you are in difficulty, then you know who are your real friends. So the point is, when you are in love, there is zero expectation, there is no fear. When you are in real bhakti, there is no fear. Like Prahlada was in bhakti, he had no fear. When Narasimha came, tore open his father, and then he was so, you know, that Ugra Rupa of Narasimha was frightening. Even devas were scared of going near. But you will see pictures of Prahlada sitting on the lap of Narasimha, put in many places. When there is bhakti, there is no fear. When there is love, no fear. If fear is there, that is a sign that you don't have love. Somewhere down the line, you are expecting something. You might be not that perfect, so you expect the other person and not to criticize you for that imperfection. Some expectation. So there is fear. Oh, he is a very perfect person. I am not perfect. So somehow, if you go deeply and see in every fear, there is no love. When you have love, absolutely no fear. You know, it's a beautiful story. Once a couple, immediately after their marriage, they went on this sea voyage. You know, this all the star cruises and all that you have. So they were going on the one of the cruise experience. And halfway through, there was too much of thunder and rain and cyclone and all that. So the ship was like a matchstick thrown this way and that way. So the husband was scared. My God, what's going to happen? So he was panting. He was scared. So he told his you can take this.
Nature.
You know, he told his wife, I'm not he was scared. But the wife, he asked, you look like you're not scared. Are you not scared? She said no. As she was talking, there was a knife kept to cut the apple, you know. So she took the knife and kept it at his throat. In a sudden flash, she did this. He never blinked, he was not scared. So she asked him, are you not scared? He said, no. Why? She asked. He said, I love you totally, and you know, and I know you love me totally. How is it possible that you will harm me? You understand? So there is no fear. So she said the same thing, I love the nature. So how can the nature harm me? When I consider myself as apart from the nature, when I look at myself as if I am the ego separated from the nature, then there is fear. But when I have love, I become one with nature. Then where is fear? When there is love, absolute trust is automatic. And there is no fear. So fear comes when there is no love. So when we work, it is not the work that gives us stress. It is the lack of love. There is some expectation. Something around the corner. That expectation gives us the stress. If you can go to work 24 hours, 365 days, but zero expectations, no stress whatsoever. You go for a walk in the morning. You say, okay, today, every day when I get out of my house, I always go on the right side. Today I'll decide I'll go on the left side. You have no issues. You have no pressure of getting somewhere. You just want to walk for an hour. Hour can be 45 minutes, can be 1 hour, 15 minutes, doesn't matter. So you just walk. Do you come back stressed? But when you get out of your house walking to your office, you have to get there. I have to get there before this time and all that, then there is pressure. When there is expectation, there is stress.
You start thinking, what do you have to do that day?
Exactly.
That happens to me. The way I'm already thinking of what is to be done and what troubleshooting is to be done and all that. So
stress is not coming from work.
Yeah.
Stress is coming from lack of love in your work. What is missing is love. In fact, a lot of us choose careers which has no connection to what we enjoy. So why do you do it? Because there is money in it. You did it for money, now you do not know how to come out of it because you are dependent, because your lifestyle is such that you are dependent on it. So now you do not want to come out of it, but you know you are not enjoying it. It's complete stress. So when you do an action with this right attitude, there is zero fear. We'll chant verse 41. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi, vyavasayatmika buddhihi, ekeha kuru nandana, ekeha kuru nandana, bahushakahyanantascha, bahushakahyanantascha, buddhayo vyavasayinam, buddhayo vyavasayinam, vyavasayatmika buddhihi, ekeha kuru nandana, bahushakahyanantascha, buddhayo vyavasayinam. Vyavasa Atmika Buddhihi means resolute intellect. In this, the intellect is resolute. The mind is collected, focused. Resolute means firm. In this, the intellect is resolute and one-pointed, O Kuru Nandana, O joy of the clan of Kuru, O Arjuna. Here, the mind is controlled by the intellect, and therefore your thoughts are collected and focused, not running in all directions. Many branched and endless indeed are the thoughts of the irresolute. Now you replace it with karma and karma yoga. In karma yoga, the mind is collected and focused and directed. In karma, which is desire propelled, mind can go anywhere. There is no rhyme or reason. It lacks direction. It can go somewhere into the future. From past to future, it can go here and there. It can wander. So what he is saying is, when you are conscious, your mind becomes collected and focused. When you are not conscious, the mind goes helter-skelter. And when the mind goes helter-skelter, what happens? You develop more impressions. You remember the discussion we had about impressions. So you collect more impressions. The more impressions means more agitations. The more agitations, again I do wrong actions, I gather more and more impressions. I get caught in vicious cycle. And then my mind is running here and there, I'm not peaceful. When I want too many things, what will I do? If it is resolute, it is clear, there is clarity, what I want. In karma, which is propelled by desire, what you want, you do not know. There is a lecture by Swamiji, the topic is, when is enough enough? You know, that's a beautiful, enough, enough. Swamiji gives a beautiful story about a bachelor boy. A bachelor boy was very happy, he was not getting married at all, his mother was getting married. So she, you know, somehow convinced him that you should get married, I'm getting old, I don't know, before I die, I must, you know, all this way in which the Indian ladies talk. So she also spoke and she convinced him. So he said, okay, but I don't know, who will I marry? So I am a great devotee of Shiva, Shiva Bhakta. So let me pray to Lord Shiva. And whatever directions, whichever girl he would come and tell me in my dreams or whatever, I will marry that girl. So he prayed for Shiva, and as he thought, Shiva had come in his prayers. And he said, this is the dilemma, so you choose my girl. So he said, no issues. Go, your mother would have got some proposal from a particular girl, and that's the girl I am suggesting you, so you agree, you know. So he said, is there anything else you want? He said, nothing else, only this, I am quite happy otherwise. Then, next time, no, he went back, the mother, as it was predicted, mother gave a girl's name and he got married to her. He agreed that he got married. Then few years passed, they were not getting children. So now what to do? Simple, go pray again. So he prayed. So Shiva came. Now what do you want? I want a child, that's all. Son or a daughter, that doesn't matter. So he said, okay, I'll bless you with a son. Is there anything else you want? No, 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 nothing. I am quite happy. So he went back. Then, when he went back, after some days, his wife conceived, the son was born, they were quite happy. After a few years, they found that the son could not speak. He was deaf and dumb. So now what to do? Simple, pray to Shiva. So they prayed. Then Shiva said, now what do you want? I just want my son to speak. That's all. No. Solve his problems. Shiva said, no problem, I'll solve it. When you get back, you will hear the good news. Is there anything else you want? He thought about it and he said, no, nothing. Then when he went back, he could find his son speaking, hearing and all that. So he was very happy. Then they found he is speaking nonsense after a while. All sorts of rubbish. So now what to do? Pray again. What? My son should speak sense, not nonsense. So Shiva said, yes, blessed. Is there anything else you want? No. Nothing. Then, after he was about 18, 19, he fell ill and they took him to the hospital. The doctor said, he has a hole in the heart. So now what? Pray again. But this time he said, no. I'm not praying. His wife said, what happened? Have you lost confidence that Shiva will come and save his life? Will not come, do you think? No. He will come. He will, as usual, bless me. But he continued to ask me, is there anything else you want? I kept on saying nothing. But now I realize, I do not know what I want. So when I asked for a wife, I wanted a wife who could have a child, who could get me a child, who could bear a child, and that child would be able to speak and hear, and that child would speak sense, and that child would live long. It continues the list. The clarity is not there. And sometimes contradictory things are out. Isn't it? I also want to do nonsense. I want to do pop. Means what? I don't want to miss the bliss here. Like if somebody is told, if you become good here, means you don't involve in any pop activities. He will be even ready to be a celibate. Because he is assured of Apsara in heaven. Why would he be bothered? If he can be a celibate here, while he has got the assurance of having Apsara in future, it is a very good proposition. But a lot of us, we think, no, Apsara is fine. But if there is any possibility of enjoying here and having Apsara, is it possible? Isn't it? So the mind many times even comes out with contrary interests. I want to do the nonsense, I don't want to be jailed. I want to have the cake, at the same time I want to eat it as well. So this sort of contradictions goes in the mind. Mind gets split. You become a split personality. Morning you say, I will not touch alcohol. Very firm. Evening 6 o'clock you say, today is my last day. Tomorrow say, main touch nahi karoge. You understand? So mind goes on taking this side and that side. It splits you. It tears you apart completely. So he says, in this the intellect is firm and resolute. It is not wavering. In the other case it's wavering. It's not firm. Endlessly runs. Goes on fulfilling. So many things but never happy. Do you remember that story? I think I mentioned this long time ago about a king who had lost his peace of mind. And he was told that there is a Swami in the Himalayas. Go to him. He will give you a meditation mantra technique. Chant the mantra. You will be able to get the peace. Do you remember that story? No. He goes to the Himalayas seeking for peace. Searches the king. I mean the sage. Prostrates to him after finding him. And says, I am the king of this kingdom, but I don't have peace, so I have come in search of peace. I am told you have some meditation techniques which you will give me, with which I will be able to attain peace. So he said, yeah, I can give you all that by which you will become peaceful, no doubt. But then, who will rule the kingdom while you are meditating here? Without king, the subjects will have no guide. And all sorts of nonsense can be happening there. That's not correct as well. So the king said, that is right. So now what to do? So king said, see, you are a peaceful person. You are a sage. I will crown you as a king. You go and rule while I am meditating here. So the sage said, okay. So he crowned the sage as a king. Now the sage has become the king. He has become an ordinary subject. So the sage, who is a king now, said, now I am the king, but I don't have any experience of ruling at all. I don't know how to govern. No administrative capacities I have no talent, no experience, nothing. Now what do I do? It's such a big responsibility you've given me. So now, before I give you the technique, this is bothering me. I have to set up a king there. So now what to do? So he said, I am the king, have the power to send somebody to rule on my behalf. He said, absolutely, sir. And the best candidate in this kingdom is you. Because nobody else has ruled. You have ruled and you have the, you know, capacity. So you are the best candidate, so I have to choose the best candidate. Now I will put you back. You go back and rule on my behalf. So now what to do? He is an ordinary subject now. He is the king. He has to listen to the king. So he went back. He was ruling everything. Same thing he was doing. But suddenly he found, I am doing the same thing, but I am peaceful. Earlier, I was not peaceful. So peace is not outside, it is inside. When the mind turns introvert, it becomes peaceful, composed, serene, calm, collected, focused. When the mind turns extrovert, many directions. There is no end. You know, there was a guy who wrote an article in Reader's Digest saying that every year I used to buy an helicopter. This year I am not able to. Means he used to replace his helicopter with a new one. This year I cannot afford to, so I have become poor. Now, how do you judge who is rich, who is poor? You might have everything and still feel as though you don't have anything. A lot of poor people, their expectations are very, very normal things. Even one meal a day probably. So if they get two meals a day, they are in heaven. You may be having seven meals a day but still agitated. So it's a question of inside, not the outside. So he says, in this the intellect is resolute, firm, controlled, collected. It's not running helter skelter haphazardly in all directions, total chaos. It's not chaotic. The priority is well set. He knows actions are there for the sake of the self, not for any other sake. So he simply carries out the actions. His discrimination is clear, is firm. He knows what is right, what is wrong. He has that clarity. In the other case, he doesn't know. Before he got this, he thinks, with this I will be happy. Having got it, now he thinks, this is nothing. I must have that. It's, you say, acha, is it possible to have a mind which is one-pointed? It's not possible unless you become conscious. Unless you turn the mind towards consciousness. Mind's nature by itself is to go here and there, is to wander. Anybody's mind. That's why mind is compared with monkey. Monkey's cage is the biggest in the zoo because it needs to jump from here and there. It can't remain in one place, and even in one place, it will be fugitive. So, mind is compared with monkey, and also it's compared with fire. Any amount of ghee you pour into the fire, it wants more. It's ready to swallow more, ready to swallow more. You give the entire city, it wants the entire state. You give the entire state, it wants the entire country. Because the entire country, it wants the entire world. It's not at all satiated. So mind by itself will never be satiated unless it is turned towards the consciousness. Now without knowing this, we are unconsciously driving the mind towards its passions. So what happens is, mind starts becoming a conflagration. It's now asking for much, much more. So when you pamper your children and bring them up, there comes a stage where you will not be able to fulfill their expectations. And the mind has turned rogue now. It has become a rowdy element. The child is not happy even with many big things that you give the child. It is so unhappy, it feels so hollow and lonely, and therefore it can be pushed, it can push itself into depressions and all sorts of nonsense. So you are not to bring up children by pampering, because by pampering the mind becomes strong. You cannot afford to pour ghee into the fire, it will catch much more. But all of us are doing this, we are playing with our minds. After all, I want this, what is the big deal? And there is a rationalization. Like in the poem Pond, beautifully he gives the poem, where a chick befriends ducklings. And the mother bird had cautioned the chick, you go and play with them, no problem, as long as they are playing on the ground. And there is a beautiful pond in the playground where they play. So the chick's mother, the mother bird says, play with them as long as they are on the ground, but don't enter the pond when they enter. Why? Because chick doesn't have webbed feet, whereas the ducklings have. So the chick cannot swim. So the chick was observing the ducks while playing. Suddenly they will get into the pond and they will play inside the pond. So the chick was developing desire. It's beautiful when they are inside the pond, they are all enjoying. Why I should not go? But my mother has cautioned me, no? So it starts thinking. And interestingly, first thing that comes to its mind is feet. So while it starts reasoning, it says, my feet, my this, my that. It goes on. Then finally it says, my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be drawn? That's not a reason. Beak is not the reason. Then it says, I'm really remarkably fond of water. I'm really remarkably fond of water. And jumps into the pond and starts drowning. The more it struggles to come out, the more it drowns. Then finally perishes and starts floating. Then all the ducks are surrounding the chick, quacking. The poet says, I don't understand their language, what they are saying. They are lamenting basically. In the sense, if you understand this poem, what is happening is desire. I am really remarkably fond of water. In your school, if the question is asked, who killed Ravana? Please write Ram. But in your life, you understand that it was Ravana who killed himself, not Lord Ram. Lord Ram is not a serial killer, interested in going on killing everybody. He had a desire, and the desire, he was pouring ghee into it. It became a conflagration. He acted on his desire and he destroyed himself. Because mind basically lacks direction, and the direction has to come from within. So he says, in karma yoga, the mind is controlled. In karma, the mind is not controlled. In karma yoga, the mind is given a higher direction. In karma, there is no direction. It goes by its likes and dislikes. I like this, therefore I do this. I don't like this, therefore I don't do this. What you like may not be necessarily what you ought to do. So it is not that one can go blindly with the likes and dislikes. One needs to stick to his obligation. What is it that he is supposed to do in the context? What is the right thing? So, when your intellect backs the action, you become resolute. Otherwise, no. When the horse is controlled by the charioteer through the reins, it goes on the path without going this side or that side. If he lets the reins loose, then the horse will go this side or that side. You cannot afford to take off your sight from the mind even for a second. In mechanical actions, you don't need to be that much conscious. Supposing you have to be participating in F1. Even for a split second, you can't take your eyes off. You understand? And that's where the thrill is. The mind goes on doing it mechanically. So what we do is, we don't want to get into conscious activities. We want to get into unconscious things. Where that much of concentration is not needed. While you are gossiping, do you require concentration? No concentration is needed. Anything. Somebody will start off with the politicians and they will end up with the sports fellow or some actors. Somewhere the discussion goes. Right? But to be talking on a subject without meandering, there is a lot of focus required. A lot of attention required. It's not easy. So when in places where meandering goes on, thousands of people are attracted. Because it's suiting their mind. Mind wants to be there. The moment you suggest the mind come to a consciousness, it's there. And if you put a plank on this level, broad, 7 feet broad, 10 feet length, plank in between two sofas, strong plank, and you are asked to walk, you have no issues. You'll even close your eyes and walk. Like people go and walk on the ramp, you know. Supposing if you make a ramp, I'm giving you ideas, between two mountains, very well made, engineers have come and certified, would they walk? It'll be fear. Why? You have to be more conscious. Mind wants to somehow avoid conscious activities. It wants to get into unconscious things. This is the problem.
So it's being safe, no?
That's what? Because you don't have to. Safe means what?
Yeah.
You don't have to be conscious. Mechanically, you go on doing. In fact, it is more detrimental to you. It becomes boring after a while. You see, this is the thing. When you first time meet somebody, or first time you contact the object, it is new. You have to be conscious. So you enjoy the bliss. Second time, third time, you get used to. You lose your awareness. But whatever is your relationship, mechanically you do things. You contact the person mechanically. You contact the object mechanically. Over a period of time, you start getting boring with that person. This is the point. Otherwise, why do you get bored with a person? Why do you get bored with a place? Why do you want to change places? There is no need to change from one city to another city. Just like that. There are people who cannot live in one city. Constantly shifting from one city to another city. 3 years, 5 years, 7 years down the line. And I am not saying you should not shift. That is another kind of madness. If you know, the problem is with the mind, it wants to go to this side or that side. It doesn't want something happening in the spur of the moment, spontaneity. That is why a lot of people would go by the set routine. If you suggest some change, they no, why, what for, no need. Very few people will say, oh, that's fun, let's do that. Many of us would just want to go by our plans. Suppose you're going out for a vacation. There's a plan itinerary given by the travel agent. Now suddenly if somebody says, no, there is some, you know, mind doesn't want to tread into those areas. Because it needs to be now conscious. And it's not ready. So therefore, our mind is by itself has this nature of going anywhere. No, it can ask for the moon. There's no end. There's no end at all. what it can ask for. Did Ravana lack any knowledge of Veda? Ravana chanted the entire Samaveda and got the boon from the Lord. It is not the knowledge, it's not the information, it's the awareness. Even if you study Vedas, Ravana had studied the entire Vedas and still the desire was there. Like in the poem Pineapple and the Bee, he says there is a person who is selling pineapple. He's cut the pineapples in triple row and has arranged it so beautifully and has covered it with a glass cover, glass enclosure. A bee looks at it, gets interested and tries to come and have a taste of the pineapple, but it is obstructed by the glass. He says, cruel glass. And he gives another two more instances. A poor lady is doing window shopping, looking at all the expensive jewelries and sighing at it. She can't afford it. Another person looking at the princess and sighing, ordinary person. He is interested in marrying her. He wants to look at her beauty, but he cannot. So the poet says, our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. And then he says, the sight our foolish heart inflames, the sight our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples and frames. With hopeless wish one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a weed. We talk about peer pressure with reference to children. Forget children, we have peer pressure. All sorts of peer pressures. Because I cannot be seen in another wedding wearing the same clothes. Now this, if you can imagine, I don't know, one wedding happens after 1 year, let us say. But no, nobody even remembers. But no, who wedding ke liye I had gone in this. Now for this wedding I have to go separately, something else. So peer pressure. Now if you think of peer pressure, let's say for example peer pressure amongst children. What is happening there? If the child is clear, what the other child is doing probably is suited for him or her, but for me it is not. My goal is this. If my goal is this, if my life's direction is in this way, what difference does it make whether I have a normal phone or a 25,000 rupees coffer? Whether I have these facilities in my phone or not? No, everybody has what I have to have. Why? Because from inside you have no direction. If you have a sense of purpose or a direction, when I say direction, I don't mean a goal where you should get to, as though you have to get there. I'm not talking from that sense.
The direction of life from wrong.
It's a direction of life itself. I'm conscious of the fact that I am a student now. And for a student, this is enough. There may be other features, but it's not needed for me. I'm talking about that sort of a direction. When I'm clear, then what difference does it make?
What is important for you now?
Yeah, it solves the purpose. Like, all sorts of features may be there, but do I require them? Everybody has a truck. Everybody has an iPad. I must have an iPad. But what? Now, this is what is happening. You know, everybody is having an iPad, so I must have an iPad. This nonsense is going on. Anyway, in fact, just yesterday, somebody was telling me, I had a call from US. They said when this iPhone 4 had come in US, you know, and they said they went to this iPhone 4 car just to see. They said it was so crowded that they could not enter the shop. So they were wondering whether there is recession in US or not. It's a fact. You were also there.
It was at the time of iPad when I was there. Yeah.
So
I believe lying and
jacking Krishna
that
word.
Yeah.
You asked if you wait for 2 months. The cost becomes almost half.
Yeah.
Imagine
true.
Something else is coming.
Doesn't matter.
So, you want
let me tell you, most of the time, most of the time, it is just a gadget with which you play for 2 days and then that's it. Uske baad sirf calling ke liye use karne bas. Very rarely a person uses all the features. It's just incredible how we are all bogged down by the peer pressure. You know? So, if you are conscious. When you become unconscious, then you are driven away. Oh, he is having, I must have. When you become conscious, then you take fresh measurements. Who am I? I am a student of a school. At the school level, I just needed, if at all, needed a phone for communicating today, maybe late, bus idhar stuck ho gaya. Jo bhi hai, bas itna hi hai. Why do I need these features? I'm just unconscious. You know, it just happens in a spur of the moment. The sight our foolish heart inflames. So, just pause. I call it as 3P solution. 3P means, first P stands for pausing. Initially, when you are attracted by something, pause. That pausing will bring you to some level of consciousness. Then, ponder. Second P. Ponder means question. This maybe is beautiful thing, but do I need it? I am not getting into the discussion whether they need it or not. That is for them to decide. But whether I need it, I need to be thinking about it. I need to focus. Isn't it? So once I become conscious, some sense will prevail. Then I will take, then discrimination will come. Then I will go through the facts, I read the things. Then I come to the decision. Then I will be able to take the right decision. What I want. And if I find this latest thing is what I want, I will buy it. What's the big deal? Then I don't have peer pressure. So what is peer pressure? So first is pause, ponder, and the third one is plunge. Before plunging is important. Again, you never plunge, what is the use? Either we plunge without thinking, or we just think, just plunge. No thinking whatsoever. Or we think and don't take plunge. So much of thinking is going. Analysis, by the time iPhone 10 has come. You understand?
Yeah.
Too much you think. That is another kind of that is attachment to your money. You don't want to spend. Some attachment is driving, you know, some stupid attachments stopping you from going ahead. Either you are a miserly fellow or you are a spendthrift. That's what the mind does to you. You never spend your money with purpose, with direction, with awareness. End of the day, it is of no use to you. So, peer pressure can only be dealt with this 3P. Peer also starts with P.
Plan, you would be making a decision in another.
Yes, a decision and taking action accordingly. Firstly, pause. And then ponder. Then ask the right questions. Then you will be able to come to some come. You know, otherwise, the sight of our foolish heart inflicts. Remember that. The moment you are there, like anybody goes in front of Vali in Ramayana, it is said, they lose the 50% of their strength to him. So you go in front of the object of your desire, you are finished. The sight our foolish heart inflames. We long for pineapples and frames. It is there in the poem, Pineapple and the Bean. It's there in the poem's book. So,
I have it.
Yeah. So these things are telling us one thing, that the mind has no direction by itself. And all of us have a mind fitted with us. You cannot say, I don't want the mind. You are fitted with the mind. And you are also fitted with the intellect. So you, it is in your hands to be led or to lead your life. So he says, when a person is performing karma yoga, he is a leader. When he is in karma, he is being led. He is led by his senses, he is led by the world, he is led by others' opinions, he is led by the peer pressure. He is not leading his life, he is being led. So this is what is happening in thousands and thousands of people. Hardly one person leads his life. So, what are the advantages of a conscious action vis-a-vis unconscious action? The unconscious action at the spiritual level as well as the material level, it's a loss. And conscious action at the material level as well as at the spiritual level, it's a gain. You gain the object of your desire, you destroy the vasanas, you enjoy this world, you enjoy the other world. There are people who sacrifice this world for the other world. There are people who get attached to this world, indulge, lose the bliss here, and because of that pap, they don't get the other world also. So either way, you miss both. So Vedanta, so a lot of people think Vedanta will take away your bliss. No, no. Vedanta, if you look at it from this angle, gives you bliss here and forever. Eternal bliss. And that's what this verse is talking about. We'll stop here today, as I have to go a little early. So, next time when we meet, we will discuss in detail. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Yes.